Thank you, Mary. So do keep that passage open, 1 Corinthians 6, page 1148. And shall we pray? If you've not met, I'm Steve, I'm the vicar. It's great to have you with us today, whether in the building or online. And I'm going to pray for us now as we come to God's word. Let's see what this says. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the words you said. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Lord, teach us now about what it means to bear fruit for you, to bring you, our God, much glory. And we acknowledge right now, without you, we can do nothing. Come by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, friends, I don't know about you, but I do want to be a fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. That is, I want to bear much fruit. Jesus promises that if we trust in him, if we are by faith attached to him like a branch in a vine, we will bear fruit. What a promise. Do you want to be a fruitful follower of Jesus? Last week we thought about what that looks like in terms of our character, becoming more like Jesus in Galatians chapter 5, keeping in step with the Spirit, keeping in step with Jesus, growing in our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. This week we're looking at the fruit of holiness, of transformed living and thinking, particularly transformation of us as sexual beings. That's not the only focus of our verse today, but following Jesus, becoming like him, will transform what you and I do with our bodies. And that's the amazing thing we have in this passage. We have this amazing before and after story, the testimony of the Corinthian Christians that we heard about this morning in our reading. It's an extraordinary story. This story tells us the amazing story of transformation. When you become a Christian, friends, things are never the same again. If it was a moment in time, or it's been a gradual process, the Spirit of Jesus makes his home in your heart. So you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are changed. And that changed the way you think and live and act. Let me just draw out four things from this passage this morning that Paul talks about transformation from their story. The first thing is transformed ownership. Have a look at verses 19 and 20. Right at the end of verse 19 it says, "You are not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies." Before coming to Christ, we lived as sinners in rebellion against the God who made us. We acted like we were our own gods and kings. We directed how we lived, what we thought about, what we did with our bodies and our appetites, what we would say and how we would think. But now we belong to Jesus if we're Christians. By his death on the cross, he redeemed us. That is, he bought us back to himself at great cost. His death in my place, on the cross. So when I trust in him and I follow him and receive all the benefits of his death for me into my life, I belong to him. I can say I am his and he is mine. In fact, he makes his home in me. He comes to live in me by his Spirit. If you're a Christian this morning, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that, my friends, means he really cares about what you do with your body. His ownership is not just about our spirits, our spiritual life. He's interested in the whole of me, my body, my soul, my thinking, my spirits. And he knows what's best for me, how to use my body physically, mentally, spiritually, sexually. And when I belong to him, by faith he says to me, honour God with your body. Honour me with your body. Steve, I care about all of you, every aspect of your life. Steve, you've been redeemed at great cost through the death of my son. Steve, you belong to me, so bear fruit for me and bear the fruit of holiness. Use your brain, your body, your talents, your gifts, all of you for me. Friends, when you come to faith in Jesus, there is a change of ownership. He puts his stamp upon you. You are mine. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, because of that truth, honor me. Worship me. Love me with what you do with your body. A transformed ownership. But also this transformed living. Let me read those verses again, verses 9 to 10, which in our culture are pretty shocking. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you once were. That list describes the past of some of the members of the Corinthian church family. It describes the way they lived before becoming followers of Jesus. He says, that is what some of you once were. But there had been a change. There had been a transformation. They realized that following Jesus meant honoring God with their bodies and their minds and their money and their words and their actions. Repentance and faith meant turning away from certain patterns and habits of accepted behavior in Corinthian culture. Drunkenness, slander, swindling people out of their possessions and finance, living for your appetites, whether that's greed for money or greed for food or greed for sex, whether homosexual or heterosexual. That is how they lived. But now there had been a transformation. They belong to Jesus. And so are to bear the fruit of holiness. A change has happened. Jesus has come in by his Spirit. They belong to him. Therefore, they are to honor him with their bodies. That means transformed living. Not slander. Not swindling. Not endless drunkenness. Not immorality. Or constant adultery or unfaithfulness in marriage. Or any sex outside of marriage. And by marriage, I mean here the Bible's definition of marriage, one man and one woman. Now, I focus here particularly on sex because that is the presenting issue that the Church of England is debating right now. And whilst the headlines say that the church will not change its doctrine of marriage between one man and one woman, it is confusingly speaking about offering services of blessing and prayer for same-sex relationships. That this passage and the whole of scriptures say we should flee. Please notice in these verses, there's no hierarchy of sin. No one worse than the other. They all express sinful ways of living in God's eyes. But if Jesus is Lord, then he has the right as creator and Lord to tell us the best way to live in all of these areas. I've constantly said from this pulpit for the last 7 years since I've been here, that everyone is welcome at All Saints. Whatever your battles, your temptations, whatever your orientation, whatever your gender dysphoria, we love you. We welcome you. You are part of our church family. But the Corinthian testimony is clear, as is the Bible, that following Jesus affects me and you and what I do sexually with my body and in every other area of my life. Friends, following Jesus changes the way you live. The fruit of holiness brings change to how we live. Now, for the Church of England to produce draft prayers to bless same-sex relationships, this flies in the face of God's words and ways. And we will not be using those here. We will fight graciously for what we feel convinced about as being God's words. Friends, we are all tempted in many ways. We are gathered here as sinners saved by grace, and we all battle at times with sexual temptation and greed and drunkenness, of course, but there does need to be change. There needs to be transformation in the way that we live. Our orientations might never change. It's hard, it's painful, and it can be costly. But God's design for sex and relationships and marriage are really good. I'm not ashamed to say that. And the testimony of the Corinthian church was that Jesus had changed them. And he was changing. This is a transforming lifestyle and living. Transformed living. Paul writes, this is what some of you were. Transformed living. Third thing, transformed status. Take a look at verse 11 again. Look at the difference that Jesus makes to the Christian believer or anyone who comes to faith in Jesus. It's glorious as you read it. Just imagine these words written as a headline over your life. Verse 11, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, we can read verses 9 and 10 and feel real guilt, can't we? Real shame about the past or maybe even present stuff. And the evil one can just condemn us and make us wonder if we know the Lord. And yet, over every true believer's life, is written what God has done for you, how he sees you, washed, sanctified, justified. Washed, that is, every sin you have ever committed or will commit is forgiven. Washed clean by the blood of the Savior Jesus. Amazing, not condemned but forgiven. Justified, that when God looks at you, sanctified, that God doesn't see you as a sinner, but as someone who's been set apart and holy. Do you know that when God looks at you this morning, if you're trusting Jesus, do you know what he sees? He sees Jesus in all his holiness and beauty, set apart, holy, sanctified. And then justified, when God looks at you, it's just as if you've never sinned. Made right, your life has been put right with God through faith in Jesus. If I was going to get a tattoo, I'd get these three words tattooed on my arm. Steve Reese, washed, sanctified, justified. Watch my forearm. I'm having a midlife crisis now. Amazing truths of what God has done for me and for you. Whatever our battle, whatever our temptation, whatever our orientation, whatever our past, whatever ways we mess up in the future, whatever our struggles, we're transformed in our status before God. Hallelujah! What a great liberating life and truth that is. I'm a child of God. I'm chosen, washed, sanctified, justified by the grace of Jesus Christ. What a relief! Transformed status. And transform destiny. You see, Jesus clearly taught in the Gospels, didn't he, that there are two final destinies ahead of us all, hell or heaven. And the before and after story of the Christian, of the Corinthian Christians, and of all Christians, is that Jesus has come into their lives and set them through his cross on a new path that leads to heaven, to the kingdom of God. Without Jesus' intervention and salvation, the Bible is totally clear. We're on the road to hell. And friends, if we live life recklessly ignoring Jesus, say, I don't need you, or if we say, oh yeah, I follow Jesus, and yet persist in lifestyles that God cannot bless or accept, the path is clear. Verse 9, do you know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Then there's that list which finishes with the sobering words, verse 10, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Through faith, we have an amazing inheritance by grace, the gift of belonging to God and his kingdom forever. But there's ways of living that reject God, that do not lead to life eternal. Can you see, friends, that with all the debates and discussions within our denomination right now, can we see how serious it is to provide service, to pray for something that the Bible says will not lead you to glory? It's not consistent with living the Christian life. As painful as that is. If we live like that, verse 9 and 10, then there is little evidence of transformation or change and it won't lead to heaven. It's so difficult. Many would say this is just a secondary issue, but it's for this reason it cannot be a secondary issue. It's a salvation issue, our thinking on all these matters. It's serious. And these verses are not talking about one strike and you're out, or relapses that come and are repented over and forgiven. There's always repentance and faith, always forgiveness for God's people. There's always a way back. Now, this is talking about a way of living that is unrepentant and defiant in the face of God's clear word. And these verses are not about our orientation or temptations, which we all struggle with, whether heterosexual or homosexual. No, none of us are sexually pure in thought and word and mind and action, but God's grace we seek to follow his call and live out this fruit of holiness. Not about how we feel, about what we do. And we're called to love what he loves and flee what he calls us to flee, so we can honour God with our bodies. By God's grace, his washing, his sanctifying, his justifying, we're kept and set on a path that leads to a new destiny. What a hope! What a blessing! Following Jesus by faith will bring the fruit of transformed thinking and living holy lives. Friends, two words of application as we close this part of the session. First thing is this: don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Those are the words in verse 9, aren't they? To the Corinthian church. Verse 9, do not be deceived. Paul's warning to the Corinthians is not to be deceived into wrong, unbiblical thinking, living, that you can be one thing in your spirit and do whatever you like with your body. If you read the whole book of Corinthians, they're having all sorts of struggles and battles. And Paul was addressing, they were being changed and transformed. They needed to learn and grow and change in what they were doing with their bodies. Hence all the talk about prostitution and going to the temple prostitutes. That's what the culture did. Why not just do that? It doesn't matter what you do with your body. I want to give you a health warning this morning. Over the coming months, as the Church of England debate what's proposed, changes to practice within the Church of England, we will hear leaders speak, and we need to be discerning. Friends, do not be deceived. Hold firm to God's good design for the holy life and his living and enduring word. We don't need to be like our culture. Right now, we're the wrong side of history, but that's often been the case for the church. We need to be renewed by the living and enduring word of God. A spiritual health warning. Don't be deceived. And then a second application is this. Two words for you. Flee and honour. Flee sexual immorality, verse 18. Keep away from it. Don't entertain the thought of it. Flee. I always think of Joseph in the book of Genesis. It gives a great picture of what it means to flee. Remember, Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce him. And what did he do? Did he hang around, see how far he could get? I'm sure he found her very attractive. What did she do? What did he do? He ran. He ran away. He fled. Maybe right now you're facing great sexual temptation. Adultery, immorality, falling into an unhelpful relationship. Why don't you chat to one of the leaders here? We'd love to pray with you and help you as you honour God with your body. Flee for your life, friends. It's very practical. Throw your phone away. Switch off the computer. Flee. Verse 20, honour God with your bodies. Acknowledge Jesus is Lord of your body and pray daily. Lord, help me to honour you with my body. For you paid a great price for it. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this amazing testimony of these Christians in Corinth. Thank you for their wonderful before and after story. Lord, we confess how we find all these things so difficult. We battle, we struggle. But thank you so much for this glorious truth that we've been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus. Amen.